to ESG Insights. This week, listen to Lisa Dominey and Rick Sanderson discuss everything from the challenges of data gathering and management, do consumers really trust eco-labelling, the challenge of the holistic view, understanding customer requirements and the direction that responsible sourcing is going in.
Okay then, Lisa, so an interesting question for you, I think. So how do you feel the emphasis around responsible sourcing, which is now ESG, which was CSR, where do you think the emphasis on that is now changing from being predominantly about human rights into other areas now, such as you can't go for 24 hours without talking about carbon? What are the big things that are happening now, do you think, to make this a wider topic, and where is it going?
I think certainly in the environment and the plastics piece has been front of mind and front of media for at least the last 2 or 3 years. It's also had, we've had David Attenborough, we've had a lot of coverage and a lot of spotlight. So that has certainly taken front and centre stage, I would say, having been in businesses where you're kind of fighting for your individual departments, if you'd like. Yeah. Certainly carbon is what everybody's looking to now, and that's forced, obviously, by legislation.
So,
I guess these are the issues which are coming up, and that probably, if I think about it, is one of the things that worries me, is where human rights actually has a place in all of that, and the lack of businesses to be able to, the lack of ability of businesses to see it all as one, as one affecting the other. We just talk about the human rights issues and where it might be, and could be about palm oil, and it could be about the Amazon and the human rights issues that have happened there. But actually, why has that taken center stage? It's because of the environmental issue. Yeah. So I think, these are kind of the things which I guess worry me and you think about. And
well, as a sort of supplementary question around that then, so, where you were and those worries, so the techniques you had at your disposal historically then to give you some comfort around those would have been, I'm guessing, a combination of audits, technology maybe, umbrella schemes like Fair Trade or whatever they may be. Do you see... Where do you see all that going? I mean, what do you think consumers are looking for? Do you think they just trust the badge as they walk through the retailer, or do you think they're looking for things on pack, on label, online?
I think for a consumer it's quite confusing. You've got all these labels which you're supposed to trust, and yet you have, recent Panorama documentary about a certain brand, which there's a label all over it. There's a certification and a badge, and you're thinking, "Well, I trusted that brand, and now the story has emerged. And what am I supposed to think?" So it's quite confusing for consumers. I think having the kind of overall, I suppose that's where you come in, Rick, and Star. It's having kind of that overall view of let's do the right thing on everything, whether that's environment, whether it's human rights, whether it's about the carbon, and making sure that brands actually can have, that they can actually go out and talk about what they do with authority. I think that's quite important.
Yeah, and we talked earlier, didn't we, about being a purpose-driven business.
Yeah.
Now, not every business is started with that at its core. And someone very much
having to retrofit, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that becomes a little bit more difficult, but it's not impossible. It's sort of starting small and figuring out where you're going to start, where's your biggest risk. Where do you really want to... actually, there's some really low-hanging fruit for brands and retailers and businesses, just to think about where's a starting point and start small and start and grow. And it's that, if you've read the book Atomic Habits, it's that consistent small things that will have a compound effect. And that's absolutely where we need to be thinking about how that's where I come in, I guess, it's helping people figuring out where to start and actually where to sort of measure the impact. And it is about impact.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we talked earlier about, there's been this arms race for big business to go out there and make commitments on things like carbon. Yeah. And we've all got days in mind, which are so nebulous, but
yeah.
And then everyone's going back to the ranch and looking, crying, how are we going to deal with this?
Yeah.
So as you say, that's the exciting part of what we're building here is clearly they need a combination of what you bring with your experience and that toolkit and that know-how to let them know where they are now and build a roadmap for where they're going, enabled by some of our technologies to say, okay,
absolutely.
Well, here's some surveillance and some ways of monitoring that and the KPIs that are going to be needed to chart that improvement.
And that's where the collaboration comes in, doesn't it, Rick?
Yeah.
You can't, nobody can do it on their own. I can't do it on my own as a consultant. And the retailers can't all just do it individually on their own. In the past, we've come together on projects which have been really impactful and have really had a sizable result rather than just doing it on your own. But yeah, absolutely. And with STAR, having a look at that holistic view, bringing in your technical, bringing in your environment, bringing in your human rights, and understanding that all these issues are actually interchangeable and they are all dependent on each other. And having that view, I think that's where it'll be a great success.
Well, we certainly hope so, don't we?
Well, we do hope so, Rick. And it is about collaborations.
Yeah.
You just see so many sort of the mergers, I think, and acquisitions at the moment.
Yeah.
And partnerships of companies coming together and that realisation that you need each other. Nobody can be an expert in everything.
No.
And you've got to kind of, you've kind of got it. I suppose that was one of the biggest parts of leadership for me in any company. You realise that you need a team around you that have got different skill sets. Why should businesses be any different? And
it's a really good challenge. I've had a few meetings recently from a procurement perspective where there's an absolute realisation that these sort of fundamental topics are pre-competitive.
Yeah.
And obviously there's good reasons and good governance around the fact that Mars can't sit with PepsiCo and sit with Schweppes and talk about these things. But actually, in these kind of spaces, you can and should.
Yeah.
And collaboration is key.
And we've done that for years.
Yeah.
And we've done that. And it is so important to do it as well. And there's no reason to not expand on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it goes beyond just retailers doing it now. It's kind of the ancillary companies like yourself, like myself, coming together and saying, right, where's your strength? Where's my strength? How can we put together and how can we make a difference?
Yeah.
And support some of these big companies.
Well, I think there's some real potential leadership stuff in there for us, aren't there? Because it's sometimes hard to get these companies together and get them around the table. But if you've got a common cause like some of these issues, then with us as the conduit, we can hopefully make some step change and move the dial on some of these things.
Yeah. Exciting times.
Exciting times indeed. So, Lisa, I mean, you've been sat in some sort of fairly challenging positions on behalf of big global retailers. The data question must have been a really difficult one for you to solve multiple times over. So would you say the ability to sort of outsource that problem to a business like us would allow you to more focus on the day job, safe in the knowledge that that kind of stuff's been taken care of?
You have no idea, Rick. You have no idea the challenges that I've experienced with data and the teams get and the frustration that they've had of just not being able to produce data.
Yeah.
When you have an issue, being able to dig down into actually, you know, who's affected, what products are affected, who else is affected. Not having that data and decent data as well, rather than the garbage that we can sometimes be left with. But yeah, not having the data and the systems has been a constant challenge, I think, for me in that position. So actually, stepping out of that sort of corporate world and into my own world, and as a completely non-techie person, as anybody who knows me will tell you, having somebody like yourselves to be able to be that strength, to be that technical and be able to gather that data allows me, to exactly go and do what I'm good at doing, which is really what do we now do with that data and how do we fix those issues?
It's really interesting you say that. So some of the other partners we talk to, not too dissimilar to yourself, you've trodden this path in your career because you've got empathy and you're a right brain thinker and you've got compassion. Yet you've seemed to have spent half of your career doing left-brain stuff, looking at data.
Yeah.
And we've heard several times actually that this partner of ours to do the left brain stuff actually solves a massive part of the problem, yeah. and really allows you to focus on the stuff that's important and can make change.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So do you sort of think we're at a sort of tipping point then with, I suppose, the retail sector, whereby there's perhaps a realisation of that and that they need to forearm people like you with technologies and other surveillance to allow you to really focus on the big stuff?
Definitely, and I think that the issues that we've had recently have probably been pivotal to that mindset change. Certainly Brexit, suddenly realising where you need to change your sourcing to, or just the lack of labour that we've had. Certainly the most recent Ukraine issue, none of us ever realised where all that product was coming, or what products were actually coming from Ukraine, and floundering around realising what we need to do and where we need, which products are impacted now. Gives that realisation that if we'd had that data in the first place, we wouldn't be in this situation where we don't have products on shelves.
Yeah.
We don't have so many empty spaces, which is actually back to the question of costing a business money.
Yes.
And if that investment had happened a long time ago, a lot of brands and retailers wouldn't be in the situation they are now, with empty shelves.
And do you feel as a consequence of that, the business case, so let's talk about a topic like supply chain transparency, a real bugbear of mine, but so we've now got, unquestionably got 10, 15 compelling reasons to go and map your supply chains. Supply chain disruption you've talked about, global pandemics, modern slavery legislation, you name it. Do you think we're now at that point where businesses are going to really prioritise this because we've got to build a tool for it? We'd love people to use it. Do you think we're at that tipping point now where this is going to become a real business priority?
I would hope so, because actually, if the current issues and where we are now hadn't served to prove the business case, I'm not sure what would.
Yes.
So, yeah, you would kind of hope so, let's get out there and start to make sure that we're giving that option.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely.
I think from our experience, there seems to be more of a, in some cases reluctant acceptance, but an acceptance down the chain that this is now needed.
Yeah.
And that the tide's not going out on this, and that from the consumer side, people want, they've got a thirst for more information around provenance and, you know, how retailers and brands are being custodians of all the good stuff in supply chains.
Yeah.
And so I guess without that kind of tributary framework, how on earth can you substantiate claims and avoid things like greenwashing?
How on earth, indeed, without having sort of millions of spreadsheets and millions of people behind those spreadsheets and trying to do a good job.
Yeah.
It's just impossible, Rick. I think there's definitely a step change that needs to happen. And again, it's technology's taken over.
Yeah.
But again, there's some really big retailers, big brands. Any change, it's like a ship moving. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
That being said, I also refer back to the example of Elon Musk buying Twitter within less than a month.
Yeah.
If he could do that, why can some of these companies not just make a decision to spend some money and make the change?
I totally agree with you, and I wonder if the carbon question is going to be that catalyst. You know, so we're sitting here today with two of the biggest oil companies making billions of pounds worth of profit and wondering what on earth to do with it all. And yet you've got a nation desperate to be driving EV vehicles and having solar panels on roofs. And surely there's going to be some Elon Musk-type thinking there to say, hey, there's some areas those funds could actually change lives for people and actually for the better.
Yeah, you would have hoped so anyway.
Okay, Lisa, well, thank you very much for your time today. It's been enlightening, as always. So, big question for you then, to help with our research and development. What can STAR do better in the future? Could we do things more smarter, better reporting, more insights? What's the top of mind?
I think you've shown me some great stuff today, Rick, and it's been really refreshing to see somebody who's taken on the challenge of the holistic view. I think there's definitely a piece around... is the data, the cutting the data and figuring out the sort of reporting that brands would be looking for.
Yeah.
doing the sort of peer-to-peer analysis, we were always very keen to understand what's everybody else doing, so that we can feel comfortable in our little security blanket that we're not doing anything far different, and everybody else has got
missing a trick.
Missing a trick, or everybody else has got those issues, so we can work on those more collaboratively.
Yeah,
certainly partnerships and collaboration, I think, are really key, and making sure we're talking to the right groups of people who've got the knowledge out there. There's a lot of NGOs with a lot of insights. That for some reason we all shy away from and don't necessarily use them for their strengths. So there's probably some of that. And it's just you seem to be really flexible and have the ability to customize for customer requirements. And I think it's just understanding what the challenges are.
Yeah.
So some of those headwinds that we've talked about today, and just where things are going, where sourcing's going, how can we incorporate that into making sure that we've got the right questions, we're asking the right questions to get the data, to then do the analysis? And I think that would probably be my only thoughts around where staff could go.
Well, that's really encouraging to hear, so thank you. I mean, it's I suppose when we set out to do what we're doing, we were kind of cognizant of the fact that, yes, we need some fundamental questions in each of the areas of the staff, which are appropriate to a textiles manufacturer as they are to a food manufacturer, but clearly there are going to be some nuances and specifics in particular sectors, and it's that insight we're not going to get without working with people like you to bring that to us, and hopefully we can do some things with the tech. So we're very grateful, and long may that continue.
Oh, thanks, Rick. It's been great to be working with you so far, and I'm just really glad that we actually met up.
Likewise. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us here at ESG Insights. Our next episode will be with our latest partner to join the Star Index Partnership Programme, GCX. The new strategic partnership with GCX combines Star Index's broad and holistic knowledge across sustainability, environment and responsible sourcing with the deep specialist expertise of GCX in carbon mapping and modelling, providing clients with one seamless solution, bringing together the best people with the best technology to create more efficient and effective supply chains for our clients.